Aidan Gillen bringing us back to Game of Thrones. He's brilliant in Game of Thrones. Have you ever seen Aidan Gillen in Game of Thrones?
Oh, I do. I'm a fan of Game of Thrones.
Are you? Yeah. You're a fan of Game of Thrones as well, yeah. Well, look, Gavin Burke is here, and we're talking about movies tonight. And Gavin, the Saturday night movie reviews, like after the match, the people might be watching on TV if they can't get a ticket for the Aviva. Because I think the match is late. It's about 7 o'clock, I think, yeah. As in the Rabo thingy-bob with Munster and Leinster. Anyway, the movie recommendations. So basically, if you're going out to the big screen or staying at home, let's take a look at the big screen first.
We've got Captain America, The Winter Soldier. This is the follow-up to 2011, I think, was the first one. I was sitting down watching the opening credits and I realised I have no clue what happened in the first one. Just totally blank.
That sums up so many of those movies. They're great as popcorn, but it goes in one ear and boy does it go out the other ear.
Chris Evans is back in the title role. He's on leave, but he's recalled to S.H.I.E.L.D. HQ by Nick Fury, Samuel Jackson, who tells him that their boss of bosses, Robert Redford, has hatched this plan to secure America from terrorists, and this is what's important.
Of course.
Potential terrorists, by launching these four helicopter carriers boasting guns that would embarrass the Death Star. We're talking flying death here. No sooner has the plan has been hatched, when Jackson finds that there is another plan to undermine that project with the Winter Soldier, he of the robotic arm, he's causing havoc. So the good captain ropes in Scarlett Johansson and Anthony Mackie, who plays the fan favourite Falcon, to help track down this Winter Soldier person.
Any good?
It's okay, you know, it's the action in these movies. You could cut and paste it into another one of the Marvel movies. They just seem all the same to me, apart from one Michael Mann type car chase, which is like something from Heat. It was really well executed. Other than that, I don't know. They all seem the same to me.
Yeah.
What was impressive is the political stance of these movies. I find that Marvel have been kind of pro-war on terror, and a lot of these superhero movies have been pro-war on terror up to now. This is very much against that. It's an anti-Patriot Act movie where, you know, these guns can seek out anyone in the world and kill them before they've done anything wrong. And Captain America, he has a couple of lines. He says, "You're pointing a gun at people's head and calling it protection." So he's out battling that stance. I mean, this movie wouldn't have been made, I think, during George Bush's campaign. So the politics of the movie interested me. Not much else did. Mm-hmm. And one of the major problems I have with the Marvel Universe, and this is, I'm going to sound like a 12-year-old saying this, where are Thor and Iron Man and the rest of them? I mean, they were there together two movies ago. Why aren't they helping out this time? And it's just glaring.
Because it's not the Avengers 2 movie
yet.
Yeah,
but I mean, you've got four giant helicopters flying. Surely that would call for a flying hero, someone who could fly. Iron Man should be called in. I don't know.
Avengers Assemble 2 will be out pretty soon, I do believe. Okay, that's the Winter Soldier. It's in Captain America, the Winter Soldier, or Captain America 2, I suppose you call it. 20 Feet from Stardom.
Yeah, Oscar for Best Documentary. And it was up against stiff opposition.
It really was, because there's nothing bigger than documentaries in the last few years. It just got so good. And in fact, oddly enough, last year, a music documentary won as well with Searching for Sugar Man.
Yes, Muscle Shoals was another one, which was fantastic. There was actually a couple out last year. Big Star, one on Big Star.
I never saw the Big Star one. I'd love to see it.
There was a great one of the JDF about Felt frontman
Lawrence.
Yeah, Lawrence. So we had a great year for music documentaries. This is directed by Morgan Neville, who has made some documentaries in his past, Troubadours, one on Stax, one on Muddy Waters. What we have here is an insight into the world of backing singers, how they're overlooked despite bringing something very special, and in many cases making the tune for what it is. Yes,
in particular with some of the iCats and Ike and Tina Turner and that. But I mean, one of the things would be that, like, these days it's auto-tuning and it's all the rest of it, and this was the real deal. You had to sing for your supper literally in those days. One of them is Mary Clayton, by the way.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a bit of this now, in case you don't know who she is, because most of the people in the movie, you don't know who they are. I mean, you really don't know who they are, but you'll know her now. Gotta be their best ever
and
song.
And that's best part of the song. That's the one that everyone remembers.
Well, the intro is that classic. Everything about that song is great. Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones. That is Mary Clayton adding that bit there. And it's all about people like her and backing singers, etc.
And the wonderful story of Darlene Love, who was in the studio recording hits Far the Crystals.
And she's a rebel and all that.
Yes,
and then she's
and
cleaning the floor and hears herself on the radio.
It's heartbreaking stuff. And she finally gets out of the contract from Phil Spector, and 3 weeks later it's sold back to him. I mean, there's a movie in that alone.
It's a great story about the real deal. Yes. In fact, she was up on stage getting the Oscar that time. She helped with the director. Yeah. No, it's good. 20 Feet from Stardom. It's just about the people who stand 20 feet behind. And of course, they're all in the movie too. Bruce Springsteen and Sting and all that kind of.
Yes, I mean, they're the guys in the trailers, but it's more about the singers themselves.
Okay, one other quick one for the movies is The Muppets.
Yes, this is.
Can I call this The Muppets 2? I mean, I know there was 100 movies years ago, but this is the second comeback.
Well, it's The Muppets Most Wanted is the official title. Muppets 2.0, maybe.
Yeah.
Because the previous one was pretty decent, but this one is lacking that nostalgia effect that the first one enjoyed. It's about Ricky Gervais pushing the guys on a tour around the world while he robs the museums and the banks that are in
okay, but not
the
as good as the last one. So I am going to move on because we're going to talk more about The Muppets in the programme tomorrow night. Let's take a look at DVDs, Gavin. What have we got there?
We have The Family. This is De Niro is a former mob boss. He's in the witness protection programme in France, and he's constantly moved around because he can't help being himself by beating up plumbers who he thinks is trying to do one over. He's scolded by his FBI handler Tommy Lee Jones to behave, and he's moved to this tiny French village, and his former colleague, shall we say, in America learn where he is, and they're tracking him down.
Any good?
No, this is not good at all. This is De Niro again in self-referential mood. You know, I had a thought there the other day that he's been as bad longer than he's been good.
Yeah. No question.
He hasn't been good since 1995. I say Casino, Double Bill. That's
what's he up to? He's got 12 movies this year or something. Each one is worse than the last.
Well, I don't know. I think maybe he thinks that, well, I've done it.
Yeah.
So,
there's an element of that.
There's an
element of go away. I'm just an actor doing my gig. I'll accept this gig. I don't need the money. I'm just doing it.
And maybe the roles are far. Middle-aged to beyond middle-aged aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
That he has to do this. But there's a horrible scene in this where he's asked to present a press screen or a movie screening of Goodfellas. And yeah, exactly. You just start to cringe.
Well, if it's funny, it's fine.
But it's not.
Right,
no,
okay, fair
no,
enough.
It's
like Grudge
movie.
Match then. That wasn't either, you know. Raging Bull versus Rocky. Yeah, okay. Anything else on DVD? So you're basically doing thumbs down for the family.
Thumbs down for the family. I'm doing thumbs up for Frozen. Dave, I know you're not a fan.
No, I went to the cinema. I went to the whole family. The whole lot of us went there before Christmas at the front. I didn't really know if it was going to be the old fashioned animation thing. Straight over my head.
Right. Well, I don't like musicals. The first 20 minutes of the new Disney one was just song. But once they got into the plot, they kind of forgot about the songs, which was just wonderful. It won the Oscar, and I think it deserves it. I think it was one of the best animations last year for the visuals alone. It was like this David Lean view of this Scandinavian country that's just covered in ice. I thought it was beautiful to look at. And the fact that I think it was my wife was looking at it going, well, finally we have two heroines who aren't relying on men to be saved. And I think that's important as well. Disney usually rely on the prince to come along and save the day.
Well, he does come along. But I better not give away the ending. And then the little snowman guy with the...
He's wonderful. Yeah. I thought he was very funny now.
Olaf, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. There was something about it with me. I just don't know what it was, really. I mean, I know that it's now, the non-Pixar Disney's, it's going to be the biggest ever because it's probably going to take over from the Lion King in terms of box office and all that, and in terms of DVD sales, it's absolutely huge. And frankly, I don't totally get it at all.
Is it because Pixar are so good, but
obviously Pixar, you have to put them to the side because they're a sidebar of brilliance. No, but I just talking about even of all the kind of like, I mean, it's no Jungle Book to me, it's no Beauty and the Beast, it's no, I don't know, half the stuff. As far as I'm concerned, it's way down my list. I don't totally get it at all. But then again, I'm not a 10-year-old learning the piano where that bloody song is everywhere. And it's, whatever it's called, it's, everybody's talking about it. And it won the Eurovision, I was going to say. It won the Oscars, you say, yeah. So, okay, so you're basically saying thumbs up for Frozen.
Thumbs up for Frozen and a cautious thumbs up for Winter Soldier. I mean, if you like the first one, you're going to like this one.
All right, listen, good man yourself. Thanks a million for talking to us, Gavin Burke. It's time to get out of here.